This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. It's the Mike Francesa Podcast on the BetRivers Network.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Mike Francesa Podcast. As we move solidly into the month of March, we look ahead and we have about another week before things really rev up. You have, obviously, all the big conference tournaments next week, culminating on St. Patrick's Day with Selection Sunday. And then, obviously, we're off and running with the NCAA tournament. The NFL season is about to open. It opens on March 13th. You can begin to negotiate officially on the 11th. We all know there's a lot of little chatter that happens before that. There's a lot going on with free agents. It'll be very interesting to see with the local teams, especially the Jets, because if the Jets haven't lined this up to right away knock down a couple of free agent offensive linemen, then I just don't know why they're there. I really don't. You know, some people think, oh, you're talking too much about the offense. Nonsense. This is easy. I don't care whether they get Evans or not. I don't care whether they trade for a wide receiver or not. I don't care whether they sign a free agent wide receiver or not. I don't care. If they can't build a wall in front of Rodgers, he will not survive. He'll be gone again early. So they have to go out, and in my mind, counting the premium pick of the first round draft pick, they have to get two free agents and a first-round offensive lineman. Those three resources, two free agent signings and the first-round pick, have to go to offensive linemen. Now, there are offensive linemen out there worth getting. There's a couple that are a little risky injury-wise who have talent. We know that. We'll get into that as we get closer to the date. But there are offensive linemen out there. There's a lot of good free agent players out there. There's going to be some amazing running backs out there, which shows you how hard it is for a running back to get a contract. Because when you see the running backs who are going to be in free agency, you're going to be like, that's unbelievable. He's a free agent. It's unbelievable what's going to happen. And you watch, they're not going to get huge contracts. It's just the way it is. So we're going to spend this time here as we get ready to get deeper into March. And once the tournament hits, everything takes off. Free agency takes off in football. That keeps you busy. And away you go. So there's another week of quiet before everything starts to really percolate. And, you know, it gives you a chance to worry about things like, you know, whether or not the Mets will add anybody you've ever heard of into their rotation behind Severino with obviously Senga on the shelf. You know, they have no, I mean, really, the status of the Met starting rotation is something that is hard to even fathom when you look at it. It really is. But their bullpen has looked very good in the spring. They're going to have a deep bullpen. They're going to have a good bullpen, it looks like. Deep and good, they're going to have to because they're going to be in it every night. And a lot of times they're going to be in it in the third inning. So they better have a lot of depth in the bullpen, and obviously we know they have a closer. But they don't have anything in the way of starting pitching they can count on. Nothing. And Senga is going to be gone for a while, probably into the middle of May at the earliest, if you're lucky. We'll see how that works out. And for the Yankees, you can sit there and revel in how many home runs Soto hits in the spring. But the bottom line is this. Listen, Soto is a given. He's going to hit between 35 and 45 homers. He's going to have over a 400 on-base percentage. He's going to have over a 950 OPS. He's going to knock in 100 runs. That is an absolute take it to the bank. Judge is not as much a given because he's injury-prone, and that toe could continue to be a problem. That's why I think Grisham's going to be a big signing. I think he's going to play a lot in center field. I think his lefty bat and his speed are going to be something that helps the Yankees. You know what's a bigger key to that lineup? And listen, let's be honest. The Yankees were mortifying in their offensive performance last year. Mortifying. The only team with a lower batting average in the American League was the A's, who really weren't even a major league club. I mean, come on. The Yankees were embarrassing offensively last year. It's the worst lineup I've saw since the late 60s. They are going to be vastly improved, but a big key is going to be Rizzo. If they get anything out of Rizzo, all of a sudden you're looking at a lineup that has Soto and Judge, that has Verdugo, who I think, you know what? I can easily see Verdugo getting 50 extra base hits this year. I think Grisham's going to help. They have power from the left side. They have balance from the left side. They don't have a leadoff hitter. But you know what? You can't have everything. But at least they finally have left-handed power and left-handed balance in that lineup for the first time in years. I'm so sick of looking at bad righty hitters. It's going to be a big jump, and Soto's going to have a huge year. There's no, I mean, none of us doubt that for a second. I am still concerned about the pitching. And I'll tell you this. I think Stroman's a pro. I think he's a good pitcher. Goes off on tangents sometimes, we know that. But the bottom line is, he's a good pitcher. But Yankee Stadium's not a great place for him to pitch. It's a place where he can get hurt. It'll be fascinating to see how well he does there. I think he's going to be a better pitcher on the road. I just think he is, because Yankee Stadium's going to be tough on him, because it's not the kind of park that's optimum for him. It just isn't. You know, he can give up a lot of fly balls that can wind up going out of the ballpark at Yankee Stadium. That's just the way it is. Now, the Knicks, I know everyone last night was going absolutely crazy. Sounds like Brunson is not badly hurt. It was more a nerve thing where he just kind of, you know how you just sometimes hit your knee wrong if you've ever done that? Sounds like he's going to be fine. But let's be honest. How ridiculous is it how many guys on the Knicks are hurt? I mean, now, 4/5 of the team is out. You'd like to see this team get back on the court. I mean, Dante, who I've always liked, has done a great job. He really has had a terrific year. And Hart, you see what he does when he gets minutes and he gets purpose. I mean, listen, we know how valuable those guys are. But they got to get everybody healthy and see where they are. But, you know, it's going to be a fun year with the playoffs with them. There's no question about it. It's going to be a fun year in the NBA. It's going to be a fun year in hockey. I don't think there's any question about it. But thank God he's not badly hurt. Now, as far as the Big East, which has the Big East tournament coming up right around the corner, hey, let's be honest. You're not going to settle whether St. John's, Villanova, Providence, and you might want to throw Seton Hall in there, maybe. I think they're a little ahead of that, but I don't want to make them a lock yet. I wouldn't make them a lock yet. You got those four teams. I think Seton Hall's going, but only, I think, one of the other three. I don't think they're going to get six. I think they're going to get five, which means those games played on the four-game day, the quarterfinal day, are going to be critical to teams getting into the NCAA tournament. It's going to come down to that. Nova had a big win at Providence on Saturday, a very big win. And I thought it was the best they've played in a long time. A lot of it had to do with Moore now looking like Moore again. If Moore's healthy, that team has a chance to be good. They have finally figured out who should play and who shouldn't and what the rotation should be, and they have talent. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens, because there's going to be a couple teams that are going to get left out, and they're going to get left out on the Big East floor. It's going to come down. This is all going to come down to the Garden, because it's that close with these teams. if you want to flop Seton Hall under the bubble after a tough week, I think they're ahead of the other three, but I don't think they're a lock yet. So that's going to be very interesting to watch as it unfolds. Emails when we come back. Remember, send your emails to Mike Francesa Podcast at gmail.com. So Mike Francesa Podcast at gmail.com. And we'll get to your emails right after.
You're listening to the Mike Francesa Podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.
Remember to download the Bet Rivers app for all of your wagering needs. New and improved. They keep upgrading the app, so keep upgrading it, and you'll get all the goodies, all the little rewards, all the games, everything else, all the promotions. So check it out. Just get the Bet Rivers app, and remember, that's where you'll find the program. As we head into March and head into the spring, we'll have some new things to announce about what we're going to be doing with Bet Rivers, so we will do that. We'll save it for a couple of days, but we will get into that in the next couple of days. So send your your emails to MikeFrancesaPodcast at gmail.com. Let's see what's on your mind today. All right. Mike starts us off. What are your thoughts on Jay Wright becoming the next head coach of the Nets? You know, when Jay left, and I know Jay very well, he's someone I stay in touch with. I talk to him frequently. He's a wonderful person, wonderful guy. I thought he would coach. I thought the NBA would come running, make a big offer, and he'd go. And now he's convinced me that I don't think he will. I think, you know, it's funny. John Madden told me once, you know what the key is for a coach, Mike, a good coach who's going to be in demand, whether he goes back or not, he has to find something that he really loves to do. Otherwise, he's going to go back. Madden obviously found broadcasting. He also didn't like to travel, which, you know, he hated to fly. He was terribly claustrophobic. So he didn't want to do that. So he wanted a different lifestyle. So obviously television and his brilliance in television allowed him to do that. Jay's already found a home on TV. He's got a big future there. He has a job with the school. He is worshipped at Villanova. I mean, absolutely worshipped. He loves the school. They have a enduring relationship. I think now he's not going to coach again. Now I'd be surprised if he does. 2 years ago, I would have been surprised if he didn't. Now I'd be surprised if he does. I don't think he will. I know he's turned down NBA offers. I don't think he wants to coach. I really don't. And I don't think he wants to come back into this craziness in college basketball, because it really plays away from what he does, which is develop players. And now it's very difficult to develop players because they're looking to raid your roster every year. Daniel, should the Yankees or Mets roll the dice on Trevor Bauer? You know, there's still pitchers out there at different levels and obviously guys that are expensive. The Yankees, you know, you can never have too many arms. So if you buy a pitcher, I'm never going to be against buying a starting pitcher for a reasonable amount of money. You know, nothing excessive. But I'm never going to be against buying another arm. You can never have too many arms. Now, the Mets don't have any name pitchers. We know that. They've done this very differently this year. This is going to be pitching staff by committee. It's going to be starters by committee. I mean, let's be honest. The most defined starter they have right now who's healthy is Severino. And he hasn't been healthy in years. They have really, so any pitcher would look good in their uniform, but it doesn't look like they're going to go out and spend money on pitchers this year. I think they clearly want to evaluate this team. And also, Stearns is a guy who likes to build bullpens. They do this pitching lab. He likes to bring guys in. He clearly likes to develop bullpens. And he did that at Milwaukee very well. We'll see what happens here. And so far, their bullpens look good. Again, they're going to need their bullpen to be incredibly deep and incredibly good to have any chance to be a decent team, because their starting pitching is just awful. There's no other word for it. It's awful. It's awful with Senga. Without Senga, it's just past dreadful. Daniel asks, is Alonzo worth $40 million a year? More. My thing with the Mets is I don't want to own Alonzo year 35, year 36, year 37. I want to own Alonzo for the next 5 years. I'm willing to give him a massive five-year contract. Why wouldn't you? Here's a guy who has immense right-handed power, plays every day, likes pressure, handles New York incredibly well, wants to be here. What else do you want? He is a proven slugging commodity who plays every day. He is a proven slugger. What would you possibly not like? I don't see any reason. Now, do I want to extend him and give him a 10-year contract and I got to eat those back years? No, I don't. I want to give him a 5-year contract. Now, I'm hoping he will accept that, but I don't care if it's $45 million a year, if it's 5 years. I don't care how much the yearly rate is. I'm willing to pay him because he's worth it. I don't want to pay him for years when he can't hit anymore. Nobody wants to be trapped in those contracts anymore in the 30s, and that's the problem. When you start to negotiate these contracts in your late 20s or at 30, the teams are leery of giving you money into the years 37, 38, 39. They don't want any part of that because they've gotten destroyed doing that. And these teams want to get younger and younger and younger. You see them bringing these young stars up. Now, you're seeing now baseball players being far more famous when they're drafted and being watched and viewed and accounted for right from the start and then rushed along. You're seeing these guys come to the majors so much quicker than in the old days. And the reason for that is they want them young. And they let them develop on the major league level. They don't lose those years. They use those years. And that's obviously the way baseball is going. Sean asks, would Belichick be the number one candidate for the Giants head coaching job if Dable fails in 2024? You know, if you're a head coach right now who has got some questions about his job security, which is a lot of the league going into any given season, you got to be a little leery of having Belichick and even Pete Carroll, who is clear he wants to coach again, out there. Now, especially Belichick. Now, there's two things that clearly are hurting Belichick. Number one, his age. Number two, the fact that he didn't do well the last couple of years. But you're going to tell me, does anybody think Belichick's not going to improve your team? I mean, let's not get silly here with him. And that's why I thought the place for Belichick, I know he didn't want to go to California, but I thought the place for Belichick was the Chargers, just like I think for Harbaugh it's perfect. You walk in and you got a quarterback, and you've already heard the things Harbaugh has said about Herbert. I mean, he's already told you, you can take it to the bank, that with what I build here, Herbert's going to be one of the biggest stars in the sport. And I don't doubt that for a second. That is a ready-made situation, and you're going to see that go very quickly with Harbaugh there. Harbaugh, to me, has always been much better suited to the NFL than he is to college. Much better suited. He had a lot of painful days in college before things got good. Jason, so back to Dable for a second. There's no question that Belichick has a place for the Giants in his heart. There's no question that John Mara has always had a close relationship with Belichick. Remember, Tish the Tishes have no relationship to Belichick. They weren't there until he was gone. They came in when he was leaving. So they have nothing with him. They have no relationship. They don't go back with him like the Maras do. Does that make him automatic? I don't think it does because of the Tish part of it. Otherwise, I would agree. But I think Belichick would find the Giant job. If he wants to coach again, and everything seems to point to that he does, then I would think the Giant job would be very attractive for him. And yes, I think it does put a lot of pressure on Daboll this year. A lot. I think it is amazing how badly this whole thing has turned from where it was in year one for Daboll to where it is going into year three. It could not have turned any worse. It could not have gotten, I mean, you couldn't even predict it could get this bad. From a standpoint of what happened with his coaching staff, what's happened to his reputation, and what's happened on the field. I mean, it was a nightmare. And he has really taken tremendous hits for his temperament, for getting along with coaches, for everything else that looked like such a positive, it now looks like an incredible negative. So he almost is starting from scratch in year three, which is hard to believe. Jason, with back-to-back titles in 3 and 5 years, the Chiefs are now considered a dynasty. I don't know what the question is. That's a statement, and it's an accurate one. Yes, it's a dynasty. In what we consider modern times. Now, three in a row is something that nobody's done. Nobody's ever won three Super Bowls in a row. The Packers won 1 and 2 and Lombardi left. The Steelers, the great mighty Steelers, won 3 in 4 years. The mighty Cowboys that Jimmy built won 3 in 4 years. The third one under, of course, Barry Switzer. The Niners stayed very good with Seifert after Walsh left, but they never won 3 in a row because the Giants stopped the three-peat game when they won out there in 90 and then turned around and beat the Bills in the Super Bowl in Tampa. They stopped the three-peat game. That was one of the most rewarding games that the Giants ever had and Parcells ever coached, was stopping the three-peat. That would be an incredible achievement, but I think in what we consider modern times, the Chiefs are already 3 in 5 years is about as good as it gets. 2 in a row and 3 in 5 years, that's about as good as it gets. That's in modern times, yes, I think that's a dynasty. What do you expect from Dominguez this year? Well, listen, I liked everything I saw. I mean, the Yankees have a couple of impressive prospects in Jones and Dominguez. I think Dominguez is really incredibly impressive. This year is going to be wait and see. But do I have high expectations for him? I think everybody does. Here's one off the beaten path. What are your thoughts on AI and stocks such as NVIDIA? Well, there aren't any other stocks like NVIDIA. NVIDIA is in a league of its own right now. Why? Because they have a chip that no one else has that is the cornerstone of building the centers that are needed to produce all this new technology. And that's why you have seen the stock just rocket. Rocket. Now, I have talked about NVIDIA many times. When I have talked about stocks, I've always mentioned NVIDIA. I always mention Amazon and NVIDIA because I've always owned both of them for many years. And I always own both of them. I've owned NVIDIA for many years. I've owned Amazon for 1 million years. Those are my two cornerstone stocks. I mean, everybody has Apple somewhere in there. If they have investments, everyone has Apple somewhere in their life. But Amazon and NVIDIA are my two big stocks, always have been. So that's never changed. As far as artificial intelligence, I don't consider myself any kind of computer whiz by any stretch or technological expert in any way. I try to stay up on it. But what I would say is this, as far as investing in it, you have to invest in it going forward. It's impossible for you not to invest in it. If you want to invest in it in a safe way, meaning don't go out and buy stocks that are just artificial intelligence stocks. They're awesome. And they're going to be very risky. They're going to have big swings. They're going to go much higher. They're going to have downsides. You're going to hear about AI bubbles and everything else. They're going to go up a lot. They're going to go down a lot. So if you can handle that kind of risk and you can handle that kind of ride, go ahead. But if you want to be involved in artificial intelligence and don't want to be left standing, then just buy Amazon, Google, NVIDIA, Microsoft, Meta, which used to be Facebook. Just buy them. You can buy them in an ETF. You can buy them in a mutual fund. You can buy them individually. If you're just starting out in investing, the best thing you can do is just buy an index fund, because you will never get hurt doing that. If you want to branch off and be involved, you can find ETFs or mutual funds that will be very heavily invested in those big, what they call the Magnificent Seven. And those stocks have spent years now buying up all the little artificial intelligence companies because they know what's coming. So what they do is, rather than try to develop the technology themselves, when somebody develops something, they buy it. They take it in-house when it's a small company. And no one even notices, and they just take it over. Or they invest money in it, one or the other. But this is a revolution. This is going to be, artificial intelligence is going to be as life-changing as the internet itself has been. That's how big it's going to be. It might take years for it to take hold. Now, there's some very scary parts to it. Number one, it could lead to an incredible number of jobs being cut because these jobs can be done artificially. And how people play into this is a big danger. Then you can get into all different sci-fi things that can scare you to death if you want to. But that's a different story. Why take the negative end of it? Take the positive end of it. You're into a new industrial revolution. I don't think there's any question about it. And you follow along. And if you're young enough, you invest in it. But like I said, you don't have to take great risk. Just buy the big companies. They're all involved in a very big way. If Saquon Barkley's giant days are over, what are your thoughts on his career? I would never have taken a running back there. I would never have tried to build a team around a running back. It's the wrong concept in this day and age. Barkley's a very good player. He's been a very good soldier. I think he's handled himself very well. I think his career, if you asked him about his career, he would probably call it frustrating. I think that's a good word. I think it's been frustrating in terms of wins and losses. I think it's been frustrating in terms of individual performance. He's a very talented football player. And I believe he'll be on a different team next year. And let's see how he does. Maybe he'll find a good spot. A lot of talk of him going to the Texans. If he goes to the Texans, they're an up-and-coming team. Maybe that's a good place to go. Maybe that'll work for him. But I would say, I don't want to call his career disappointing because that would be unfair. I would call it frustrating. That's the word I would use. Doug, sad to see that Chris Mortensen passed away. Did you know him? Well, everybody in the NFL. And I've been very actively involved in the NFL for over 4.5 decades. So anybody who's been involved in the NFL for a long time or was ever deeply involved in the NFL knows Chris Monson. It'd be impossible not to. Knew him well. Always got along very well with him. Very solid reporter who created a tremendous niche for himself. You know, you see these NFL information guys. This was, you know, Mort followed in the path that was created by Will McDonough. And nobody ever had the reach or the connections that Will McDonough had. Never. But Mort was very, very deeply involved with players, with owners, and had a lot of good connections and was a very, very big player for a long time. No question about it. And he's a good guy. Knew him very well. My condolences to his family. He's in our thoughts and prayers. He handled his illness very gracefully. He's been dealing with, he was dealing with that for about the last, I would say, 6 to 7 years that he's been on Earth. That he was on Earth before passing. I think it was 2017 when he first found out about it. Might have been 18, but it was right around there. So he's been dealing with it for a while. Like I said, he handled his illness with tremendous dignity and grace. And he created a, you know, a real place for himself. You know, all you can hope for in your career is that you left the mark. You know, we all have a finite time in our careers. No matter who it is, it's going to come a day because time is the big winner. It never stops. It's relentless. And there's no way to defeat it. So everyone's going to have to move on. And you leave your legacy. You leave your mark. And if you've done that, then you have to be happy with what you did. And I think Moore did that. So, as I said, condolences to his family, and I haven't spoken to him in recent years. You know, I've been out of the everyday stuff, and so is he. So I haven't spoken to him in a couple of years, but he left a definite mark in the NFL. And he will be missed. So, yeah, he was a very, very big player for a long time. He did a good job. And I know he suffered with this, so I hope he's in a better place. We'll talk to you in a few days.
Thanks for listening to the Mike Francesa podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.